Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media and on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at TypingWhenTipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. Our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More. And of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on YouTube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. And of course, you could support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win contests. Prizes by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it wherever you get your favorite podcast to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the good brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network.
Welcome in, friends, to the best damn pop culture podcast in Chicago, in the universe, in the galaxy, in the Spider-Verse, in the Speed Force. This is the Quarantine Files, brought to you by the Good Brothers here on the Mercado Airwaves Network. I'm your host, Mike Mercado, with the one, the only, the good brother himself, Alex Mercado. How's it going, good brother?
It's going good. How's it going over there?
Everything appears to be everything, good brother. And in today's episode, you brought us a new subject to tackle on our top five list. What did you bring in store for us today?
So I'm trying to keep this list a little more current since we will be doing this actual Quarantine Files for at least Illinois, another month longer. And the biggest news right now in movies, now that we're not really getting paid to go to movies anymore, we're getting, you know, to talk about movies. And the fact that AMC is banning Universal after their comments of the Trolls movie making so much money and not really needing a movie theater, you know, we really haven't seen something like this in a very long time. And, you know, what are your thoughts on this, Mike?
Well, it's interesting you bring it up. I think when this originally came out, it seemed like a very boneheaded decision because on both sides, AMC theaters and the rest of the American national chains that all work together really jumped the gun in going down, jumping down Universal's throats, the same with Universal kind of making these dumb statements. I think this is one of those things where both need each other to survive. At the end of the day, this is just trolls. But if you really believe for one second that Universal doesn't want the next Jurassic Park or the next Fantastic Beast or the next Illumination film to be in theaters, and you don't believe AMC wants the new Chris Pratt Jurassic World movie in their theaters, you are mistaken. This is one of those rare scenarios where you have two big babies going against each other while the world is in a global pandemic. I think this is a story a lot about nothing because there's no movies going to be in theaters right now. Nothing's going to be released right now. So my real question is, why even bring this up if you're Universal? Why even bring this up if you're the AMC and you're the movie chains? There is no benefit for either one of these sides to be having this peen contest when, quite frankly, nobody knows what tomorrow is going to bring, let alone the next release schedule. And I think that's my biggest issue with all of this. What are you thinking when you hear some of this news?
Like you said, it's very ridiculous. One, AMC, they're not even open yet. And even when they do open, it's going to be so slow and people are going to be not really going to these movies, at least this year. And then if you're Universal, you know, it's easy to talk big once you, A, Disney already showed you can do animation home releases and still make your money back. And if I'm not mistaken, Universal, you did move your biggest Fast and Furious movie to next year and a bunch of your other releases. So, you know, it's a little unnecessary that they even made these comments, but I find it very funny that they did something Disney already did good, and they also did it good for them. But they're talking all this smack, but they're not releasing any of their big blockbusters at home. Neither is any other company, because it really isn't the road to go right now. So it's all a little ridiculous.
At the end of the day, how do you think this all works out? Do you think it's all a bunch of nothing and all these movies still end up being released in theater? Do you think Universal goes down the road of putting these movies on VOD and losing a lot of money that they would get in the theater change? How are you feeling this ends up at the end of all of this?
A whole lot of nothing. I think animation is proven. I think during this time that was sound no matter what, but I think we already knew that. I think at best it gives us something fun to talk about because now we get to talk about the Universal.
And with that in mind, Good Brothers, the next few episodes of the Quarantine Files brought to you by the Good Brothers on the Mercado Airwaves Network are going to be Universal Studio themes. And on this episode, we are going to the live action realm of Universal. And as always, it is a fun time, Good Brother, when we talk about one of the best in all of movies, one of the most famous studios in all of movies that have brought us so many different classics, that have brought us so many memories from the theaters, the TV screens, and even amusement park. Good Brother, are you ready to talk all things Universal Studio movies and cartoons on the next few episodes of The Quarantine Files brought to you by the Good Brothers?
Yeah, I'm very excited because, again, movies, this is what I do. This is what I do for our network, and I love movies, and I'm going to say this off the bat. First thing first, we're going to do a lot of movie lists. So if a certain movie doesn't make this specific list, it might be, for one, it just doesn't make the list. It's opinion-based. Or two, it's something maybe we're saving for a different list. And I don't know, maybe that's how you feel. Personally, I make my decisions. I stick with them. My movie picks will probably be a little different from your movie picks to anyone else's. It's opinion-based. But I'm fascinated to talk about it. I think the animation will be real fun. But I'm really, really excited about the live-action movies we're about to talk about.
Absolutely. So many classics that came from the studio. And I will start off with my number five on my top five Universal Studio movies. And it is the most recent one on my list. It is one that is going to surprise a lot of people. This movie is very important for this studio. This movie made a lot of things possible for this studio. I am talking about Fast Five. Now, if you're a Fast and the Furious fan, obviously the first one, really fun movie, but a lot of people consider it just like a basic ripoff of Point Break. Get it. No harm, no foul if you believe that. Fast Five brought in a different era of action movies. It brought in a different type of atmosphere and experience for action movies. It brought in a different type of expectation for action movies. And it's one of these rare movies that after so many sequels, after so many ways that they've gone in different directions, they circle back and somehow find a way to find what people like about it, the chemistry, the little nuance that they've loved about the series, not necessarily about the movies, but about the series and the characters. And it was made into this weird mad scientist experiment that worked out and created one of these worldwide phenomena that broke box office records over and over again. And then it introduced us to a different version of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, one of the most important movies for that man's career. And if we're talking about the importance of him in pop culture, I think it's going to be funny when people see this list. And I know there's a lot of, you know, cinephiles that will laugh and snark at this, but the importance of Fast Five cannot go untold. And I think that's why it's important to have it at least at number five on my list.
That's very interesting. When it comes to the Fast and Furious, it would have made my top 10. I think Fast Five out of that 9 movie franchise with one coming out next year, that's the best one. Like I said, it made my top 10, didn't crack top 5. I want to talk about that comment you said about, you know, maybe a little more movie snobs. I personally am with you where Universal definitely does action adventure as good as it does serious movies, and our lists are going to show that. Again, it's opinion based, and yeah, a movie like Psycho probably didn't make our top 5 list, and again, it might make someone else's, and there's a lot of movies we're going to talk about. The Harry Potter franchise doesn't make our list, and those are huge to people, and it may be just not to you and me that there's going to be certain movies that don't make it, but again, it's all in opinion.
And normally we save it for the end, but I do want to bring up that I'm sure it was going to come up. We were going to make it an honorable mentions, Hitchcock and the Harry Potter series, but just so everybody doesn't burn down the building and the village now, exactly. We will talk about those in just a little bit, but for right now, my number five is Fast Five. Good Brother, what is your number five, top five Universal Studios movie?
So my actual number five was Jurassic World. And I'm going to go on the limb and say this. I love Jurassic Park franchise in general. I think the universe is great. I enjoy all the movies. It very much is like an Indiana Jones style movie where I enjoy them all. I do like certain ones better. And in this case, I personally like Jurassic World a little bit better than Jurassic Park. I think Jurassic Park's a little boring. I think it looks-wise, it ages well. Movie-wise, I think it's a little slow for a dinosaur movie. I understand what they were going for, and I understand that it's more of a horror element. I get it, like the whole alien-aliens argument, but I'm more of an Aliens fan saying that. So I like the action adventure. I like Chris Pratt. I like what this movie did. It was kind of like a reboot slash sequel, showing just enough respect, but having a lot of action, a lot of fun dinosaurs. It's Jurassic Park. That's what I want to see in my dinosaur movie, is more what Jurassic World gave me. So that's my number five and my favorite Jurassic Park franchise movie.
Jurassic World's the second best Jurassic Park movie. It has great chemistry between Dallas Bryce Howard and Chris Pratt. You obviously have to love the way the dinosaurs look. There was a lot of TLC in this movie by Colin Trevorrow. I think for the most part, Jurassic World did what a lot of movies that are sequels so far down the road that haven't succeeded did, and it kept the spirit of the movie, but it brought something different to it while acknowledging its past. If you look like a movie like Ghostbusters, the most recent one, what Kill did is it did not want to embrace its heritage. Jurassic World did in the best types of way. I think Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom kind of took a side toward that and really went in its own way, but you could see that there. You could see, though, in Jurassic Park, I can't think of the Extinction or Annihilation
World.
Or what, whichever dumb third title they're coming up with, though. I think you're going to see that when they're bringing back Sam Neill and they're bringing back just the entire cast. It's going to be really great. But I have different opinions about the Jurassic Park series, so we'll get to that in just a little bit. But good, brother. At number four, I'm coming with one of the classics. Black and white films, I know, get a bad rep, especially for the newer generations, because they feel with that filter, even though everybody likes taking pictures of them like that on Instagram and Snapchat, Frankenstein, one of the better movies of all time. A simple story. You know, when you're talking about Mary Shelley's book to the most updated version of it, it's an easy story to be told. But to this day, all these years of cinema, the pureness that is that original version cannot be touched. The heartfelt emotion you feel in the scene with the little girl is untouched by anything in cinema. And the character design of him is phenomenal, top tier. We talk about all this time, and it's a cliche of what has stand the test of time. That Frankenstein monster, how it looks, is what the first images that you think of. And it comes from that movie. And I think that there's something magical about those universal monsters. We'll talk about those, but this is more of a personal one. On our latest episode of the Quarantine Files, we talk about how the Good Brothers' father liked to play Baraka in the Mortal Kombat game. I always think of our mother when it comes to these original classic monsters, because when we were growing up, we had to watch one movie we wanted to watch and a classic old one. And we went through the Universal Monsters, and my favorite one personally is Frankenstein. And I think you could watch it in 2020, you could watch it in the 1930s to 1950s, you could watch it 20 years from now, it still holds up. That's why it's my number four.
I know, I completely agree. It's a classic, and I'll talk more about it later. I think it's funny, like you said, it's no lie, there's no secret that we're very much into horror films, and that includes the classics. We went to Haunted Trail as kids, we went to the library and rented all the old school Universal Monster films. On the network, we have a podcast called Murder, Mysteries, and More, so there's no secret, I love Frankenstein, and it's one of the best pieces of classic cinema we still have today.
Good, brother. Who is your number four on our list?
My number four, I think, is one of those movies that it would make everyone's top 10 list once you saw it just right in front of you. And that's what it did with me. Mine is the Mummy, but the 19, Brandon Fraser at his best. It is one of those action movies that has enough creepy image with great action scenes, great horror scenes, fun over-the-top acting. It is definitely one of those movies that it's our generation's movie. It had three of them. It's just one of those early 2000 classic cinema that maybe doesn't age well, but it's the perfect throwback. It's almost like a Space Jam where it may not be great. You may accept it's not great, but you love that movie. And at the time, it was groundbreaking.
Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz have some of the best chemistry in movies. And whether or not you think the quality of film is great, whether it holds up, I absolutely adore that movie. But that first one has all the things of a great movie when it comes to actors and actresses just getting along and gelling at every single moment. And there is all this charm in that movie. The sequels are their own thing. But the importance of that first one, when it came to that next generation of film, think about how important The Mummy is when you're talking about movies like Pirates of the Caribbean moving forward. And I think that can't get lost on people.
Exactly. It's, like I said, this is a personal list. And I think again, The Mummy was huge at its time, like you said. Like, it had the ride. It was everywhere. So, number four for me, The Mummy.
Good, brother. At number three on my top five Universal Studio movies, I have the classic Bruce himself, Jaws, one of the greatest movies of all time, still holds up to this day. It literally made people afraid to go swimming, to go to the ocean. And we're not just talking about in the 1970s. We're talking to this day. And the great thing about Jaws that you shows the importance that it has in society is that it's still parodied to this day. And it's never been able to be matched to this day. It's often imitated, but never duplicated, because it's impossible. It did everything that movie could do, any type of movie like that can do, because it was forced to be creative. You had everything going against it by its creators. They had every hurdle to get through, and they somehow made it work. I argue, and I hate using the word, I use it too many times, arguably, one of the best scenes in all of cinema is the boat scene with the three men sitting there, and they start singing that song, and Bruce starts hitting their boat, and you start seeing that this is that final confrontation. And there's one moment when they're going down, and you see that there's a little upbeat of music, because it's one last adventure before the silentness that is the ocean when they get attacked. It's a movie that really hits in primal fears and primal thoughts of humans, and the fact that it was created by arguably the most important director of all time, to me, it shows how strong Universal is, where this is my number three movie, Jaws.
Again, I'll talk more about Jaws later. The only thing I'll say right now is Jaws is bigger than just a film. Jaws is pop culture. You don't have to watch cinema to know that Jaws was important. It had so many sequels, all the rides, all the references. Jaws is bigger than cinema, and that's impressive, because there's not a lot of things that are bigger than cinema. Jaws is one of them, though.
Good, brother. What is your number three movie on your list?
It's funny, my number three is bringing it back to Frankenstein. Frankenstein, there's two movies that at a young age when I rented or I saw got me really into cinema and really exploring the old school cinema, and that was Frankenstein and To Kill a Mockingbird. And To Kill a Mockingbird, you know, it didn't get to make the list. It's actually going to be, it's an honorable mention. But Frankenstein was just this fascinating movie. For such an old movie, it felt ahead of its time. The story it was telling was so little. The black and white, I think, looked beautiful. It's definitely a personal movie. And the story of Frankenstein in general, I loved. It's this huge, misunderstood monster, not choosing to be alive or be created, and just kind of exploring the world as almost like a child. And it's still a beautiful story. It hasn't been done as good since the original, and that's a shame, and I hope one day we really get a nice modern telling of it. And he's my favorite part of Van Helsing.
Only you could bring up Van Helsing when we're talking about
it. That movie will not make our list.
I
personally love it.
Oh, good brother. It is a great movie, and I'm glad that we both agree on Frankenstein. But at number two, good brother, why don't you make like a tree and get out of here? Oh, because I'm talking about Back to the Future. Now, the good brother and I kind of have a theory where as long as you have a fresh take on an idea and there's been an X amount of time and a generation has seen it, it's okay to remake a movie. This is the anomaly to that rule. Back to the Future is the only movie that should never be remade. You will never have Christopher Lloyd and Michael J. Fox level of chemistry. You will never have the innocence of the future like you did in Back to the Future. You will never have the poetry that is that script and that idea and that fun for the entire family. And also that suspense that's still really otherworldly and very scientifically proven, but yet goofy. And if nothing else, this movie made us imagine and believe. And its soundtrack is amazing. The premise is amazing. I don't know how often you get to gush about a movie like this, but the imagery in it and the fact that to this day, people dressed like Michael J. Fox in that movie, Marty McFly and Doc have created and been parodied in every form of medium, and the most successful cartoon and television today is because of this movie. Back to the Future is a perfect film. That's why it's my number two.
Back to the Future is a perfect film. The only reason it's not on my list is it's so perfect, it's going to be number one on a list we do in the future.
Good, brother. Speaking of perfect films, your number two is a great one. What is it?
I think it's kind of funny. We did the same thing with Frankenstein and Jaws. My number two is Jaws. And for me, you know, Frankenstein was more when I was 8 years old, honestly. We were young watching that. Jaws, we had the DVD. Like, our mother had all these DVDs, and that's when I first saw Jaws was as, like, a 13, 14-year-old. And I think we watched that DVD at least 100 times. Something so old. It didn't feel old. It felt just – didn't matter if it looked old. It didn't feel like it looked old. And I don't know how to really explain that any better. It's a classic, but it's the definition of a classic. It's almost timeless and ageless. And I love that movie. Everything you said, I diddle that. It's still scary. It's still – people are still scared of sharks because of that movie. And even with Shark Week telling us, oh, they're not as, you know, killers. They're not as much killers as we think they are. We don't believe that because of Jaws. And Jaws, again, is bigger than film. It's pop culture. And that's why Jaws is my number two.
Before we get to our top ones, why do you think it's so hard for movies to match what Jaws did, even with all the tech? Even with all the film history, what is it about Jaws that has made it kind of like Back to the Future and a lot of these top tier movies we talk about that make it so hard to do for other films to replicate that type of success?
Jaws is almost the Michael Jordan of summer blockbusters, where, like, no matter what you do, no matter what these current people do, there was just a certain time, a certain place, the lightning just struck, the stats backed it up, and it's almost like it's never going to be duplicated again. And that's as far as you can go, and it's like a Michael Jordan of basketball where you can get super close, but Jaws is the definition of a summer blockbuster, and it was the original at that.
It's a really good point, and it is why you can watch that movie anytime, and even though during the slow parts, even the social commentary in it about closing down the beach and the political stories of it resonate to this day, good brother. How amazing is that about a movie that's from the 70s from a director that was one of his first films?
Think about this, to add, beside the fact that you're right, it's Spielberg, so one of the best directors doing one of the best movies. Think about this. It is the only movie that no one's ever talked about redoing it. We might have, you know, people trying to do what it was, but no one's ever said, I'm going to do a remake of Jaws. Never. And they never will do one. We'll see a remake of everything in this world, but Jaws is one of those that you're just never going to see it again. And that speaks for itself.
And good, brother, my number one movie speaks for itself. And one of my favorite quotes of all time, I'll tell you the problem with the scientific power that you're using here. It didn't require any discipline to attain it. You read what others had done, and you took the next step. You didn't earn the knowledge for yourselves, so you don't take any responsibility for it. You stood on the shoulders of geniuses to accomplish something as fast as you could, and before you even knew it, what you had, you patented and packaged and slapped in and plastic lunchboxes, and now you're selling it. One of the most quotable movies of all time, but also a movie that made you think, made you believe. It scared you. It holds up. It changed the way technology is used in movies and everyday life when it comes to amusement park. I'm talking about Jurassic Park. We talk about perfect movies. We talk about unmakeable remakes. Jurassic Park will have sequels. Jurassic Park will continue because it's a successful franchise that has a premise that will live on forever because people love dinosaurs. But what Jurassic Park did in the early 90s will never ever be replicated. It's almost as if the guy who made Jaws knows exactly what it is to tap into people's emotions. If you didn't feel something the first time Dr. Alan Grant sees that brachiosaurus, it shows you that you don't have a soul because you thought for a second that dinosaurs were real, that they were still alive with us. That's the beautiful thing about movies when they can make you think something's real. I think that's why a lot of people love the Avengers. It makes them believe in the whimsical and in the magical and the mundane. That's what Jurassic Park was in the 90s. And it was practical. That's why I felt like you could touch it. And when you hear the T-Rex roar when it's fighting the raptors, and you see that scene where Ian is using the flare to fight it, it's terrifying. Must go faster. Must go faster. When you're running away from those raptors, every moment of that movie, there, you talk about that movie's a little slow. I argue there is not one slow moment in that movie. And any time that movie takes a moment to breathe, it's a payoff. It means something. It's important. No time is wasted in Jurassic Park. It is the number one Universal movie of all time.
It's fine. I mean, I get the dinosaurs you know, had feathers, and they're really not what we think they were. So I prefer seeing my Raptors form in packs of four and riding Tyrannosaurus Rexes. It didn't hit me. That's why it's an opinion. It doesn't hit me. I don't want a realistic dinosaur film. It's a classic, and it's good. It's very good. It's great. It's not one of my favorite movies, and I prefer, if I'm going to see a dinosaur movie, to see a lot more action.
I think it shows a lot about yourself, but good brother, what is your number one?
Well, again, it shows a lot about myself. My number one's an odd pick, but I would say I wouldn't be doing this with you right now if it wasn't for this movie, and it's 8 Mile. And 8 Mile, to me, was the first movie I saw that, one, it felt like the MTV you and me used to watch made a movie. It had the best music I've ever heard in my life from one of my favorite, if not my favorite artist at the time. It was gritty. It looked cheap, but it wasn't cheap. It had prime Brittany Murphy. It was one of our heroes, Eminem, acting great, actually. It was an underdog story about not giving up, believing in yourself, dealing with all the crap of everyday life, and staying true to yourself. And again, this was the first movie I ever saw that I'm like, oh, you can watch regular movies that you enjoy, and they're still Oscar movies. This kind of started that trend for them of like, okay, you don't have to be this normal prissiness. You're probably not going to win, but we're going to start seeing movies like this at the Academy, movies about music and movies about, you know, underdogs and grittiness. And I think we hadn't really seen that until 8 Mile. So for me, that's why 8 Mile is my number one for a personal reason. And again, stats talk, it's an Academy Award winner.
Yeah, I mean, best song. It really showed a different side of Eminem. We saw great performances by Kim Basinger. Brittany Murphy is in it. Anthony Mackie is the killer of all the rappers when it comes to the final bad guys. So it's a great movie. It's shot phenomenally. It really was that first bringing of, without 8 Mile, you don't get Hustle and Flow, you don't get Straight Outta Compton, you don't get a lot of these movies.
You don't get Bohemian Rhapsody, you don't get Rocket Man, you don't get A Star Is Born again.
And again, you could see the maturity, growth because of that. Well, that movie took those type of, you know, and we've seen a lot of stylized film, right? Like, obviously, we don't want to overstate it. But the genre of film that it took, the way it stylized it, the genre it was tackling, and the fact that it took a non-actor and really tried to implement that, and it shined the way it did. And, you know, you see a lot of different, you know, David Hasselhoff goes off, and you're like, okay, he's acted before, but he goes into music. And usually doesn't work that way. It doesn't work where performers, Madonna tried being an actress. It doesn't work that way. Mariah Carey tried to be an actress. It doesn't work that way. Eminem walked right into that role, and he was just himself. But he has a charm to him that I don't think a lot of people thought of. They thought of him as just his mom-hating, rap-spitting degenerate. And instead, we saw this artist come out of nowhere. And we shouldn't have been surprised because Tupac was the same way. And these guys are performers. Snoop Dogg is a performer. But what Eminem did was different level, where, like, if he trained, if he stuck to it, this man could win an Academy Award.
And we gotta remember, Eminem produced this at the time. And, like, there was, again, he was making it so these rappers and these athletes can produce their own stuff. Like, Kobe doesn't get an Oscar if 8 Mile isn't produced by Eminem, because people weren't doing that at the time. He was kind of the original, these rappers really getting into the film in Hollywood.
It's an interesting pick, good brother. I find it interesting after you poo-poo over Jurassic Park that you make 8 Mile your number one film. But it goes to show the beauty and subjectivity that is film, and what is awesome about doing these quarantine files brought to you by the good brothers as we're going through this, you know, crazy time, to be able to kind of show why we are the way we are when we're critiquing films, or why we like certain films, or how we just live day-to-day life. This is kind of a peek behind the curtain. But with that in mind, good brother, it was another fun list. Any final thoughts about our top five Universal Studio films before we go ahead and run them down?
Just, again, when it comes to movies, it's opinion-based. And do what you and me did today, everyone. Like, just have a conversation. And again, Mike likes 8 Mile a lot, and I like Jurassic Park a lot. And that doesn't mean they have to be on our list. And again, maybe certain movies will make our other list. So, again, have the conversation. That's the real fun part, especially during these quarantine times, through text or FaceTime or phone call. You have time to watch these films and these shows and everything we're talking about. So, you know, distract yourself with something enjoyable like these movies.
Before we get to our entire list, good brother, let's get through some honorable mentions. We mentioned it earlier. Harry Potter, the original Monsters, Hitchcock. I also want to bring up the Bourne series, kind of the modern day action movie, really changed the way we did action scenes. You could see what Bourne Identity, Bourne Supremacy, Bourne Ultimatum mean to movies like John Wick, super important. So those are kind of the series that I wanted to give some dab to before we moved on.
Yeah, mine would have been Fast Five, which you talked about. And again, To Kill a Mockingbird is really a special movie. In general, I think that's obvious to anyone that watches movies, but especially to me, like that's one of those that when I saw it in school, really stuck with me. That whole book, but definitely the movie, because I like to watch things. Like, reading the book is fine, everyone, I'm not, but we're a movie podcast, and there's a reason for that. So seeing that film is just, it's still to this day, still hits me in a special place.
It's a really good call on your end. And good, brother, speaking of good calls, let's go ahead and run these bad boys down. At number five, I had Fast Five. The good brother had
Jurassic World, the better Jurassic Park movie.
Unbelievable. At number four, I had Frankenstein. The good brother had
The Mummy. Not the bad one, but the one before the bad one with Brandon Fraser.
At number three, I had Jaws. The good brother had
Frankenstein.
At number two, I had Back to the Future. The good brother had
Jaws.
At number one, I had the best dinosaur movie, the best one in the series. I had the all-time classic, Jurassic Park. And the good brother had
8 Mile.
Good brother, what a fun list. I can't wait to see what you have in store for us when it comes to the animated side of Universal. A very interesting history of that studio and everything it brought to us. But until then, we want to thank each and every one of you for joining us here on the Quarantine Files, brought to you by the Good Brothers here on the Mercado Airwaves Network. Make sure you're following the Good Brother on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media and on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. Do us a huge favor, guys. Like, rate, review, and share us wherever you get your favorite podcast at Mercado Airwaves. And while you're at it, please leave a comment. It really helps us get up those chart boards. Like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. We're on twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. Check out our Let's Plays whenever we're going live. And if you missed any one of those Let's Plays and you want to check out some of the past podcasts, check us out on youtube.com/Mercado Airwaves Network. For the good brother himself, Alex Mercado.
Adios.
I'm Mike Mercado. We'll see you on the next episode of the Quarantine Files, brought to you by the Good Brothers on the Mercado Airwaves
Network.
Hey guys, Mike here from Mercado Airwaves. We want to thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network. And if you want to see what we're up to outside of the station, please follow us all over social media. I'm on Twitter at Mike M Media and on Instagram at Mike Mercado Media. You can follow the good brother Alex Mercado on Twitter at Mercado21Alex and on Instagram at Mercado2121. The lovely Nicole Mancha is on all social media platforms at Typing When Tipsy. You can follow the network on Twitter at Mercado Airwaves. Our pop culture show, The Good Brothers, on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod. Our true crime shows on Instagram at Murder Mysteries and More. And of course, like us on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. You can see all our videos on youtube.com/MikeMercado2333 or by searching Mercado Airwaves Network. We play video games on Twitch, twitch.tv/Mercado Airwaves Network. And of course, you can support our network by finding a tier just for you, whether you want early access, you want to be part of polls, you want to win content prizes by visiting us at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves. And we really appreciate it wherever you get your favorite podcast to like, rate, review, and share us. And please spread the word. For the good brother, Alex Mercado, for the lovely Nicole Mancha, I'm Mike Mercado. Thank you so much for all the support you've given us here on the network.